We already have chairs.
There's two up there.
Anybody else have any other comments they'd like to make? Okay, seeing as there's no more comments, we'll move on to the approval of the September 28th, 2021 agenda.
Gotta do the minutes first.
Minutes. Oh, sorry, minutes. From August 31st.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Motion to approve.
I'll second. Okay. They are approved as written. Now the approval of this today's agenda, September 28th, 2021.
Motion to approve.
Second. Okay, it's approved. And we'll start with our informational items.
There's more chairs. There's more chairs over here, you guys.
There's a whole...
Well, I sit in my truck all day long.
All right.
Officer Pickerel, what you got for us?
How you doing? I'm Sergeant Pickerel with Las Vegas Metro. We have nothing new to report, but I'll gladly answer any questions anybody might have.
I do have a question about the... It looked like there was a death on 161.
Steve? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the motorcycles? Steve? Excuse me? Steve? Oh, is that who passed away? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know who it was. I was just...
Yeah, there's been a couple things going on. The 161, that's NHP's, so they would handle that fatal.
Oh, okay.
We've had two fatals in Red Rock over the last couple of days. We handle that. We had an event on the 604, which I'm sure you guys have read in the paper, that suspects have been caught. It was a lengthy investigation to track him down in California. So that's kind of where we're at with that.
Steve lived right over here, at the end of the road, up in the very back. Mm-hmm. Long time resident. Very sad. There was a memorial for him just a few days after it happened. Anything else for Sergeant Pickerel? Okay, we'll move on to the County Administrative Services report.
All right, I'm going to keep it real short because we have a lot of stuff to get to today. The extension time for the Wolf Sanctuary was approved. And the maintenance request, we've talked about the things around the building, and so those have all been sent in, and they're coming out Monday to start painting the community center, so they'll be working on that all next week.
Yay.
So, that's it, unless there's any questions for me.
Any questions?
Or turn
good idea.
Or turn the AC. Good idea.
Let me do this.
Great idea.
Okay, then. Moving on to our first item on the agenda.
Sorry to interrupt you. Do you mind if we trail that item? Because the applicant has not arrived yet.
You want to switch around?
It. So two goes first, and then we'll go after.
Two is here, so I have no problem with that. Can we go ahead and do that?
Thank you so much.
We need more chairs.
We need more chairs.
Well, there's two there. More people walking in.
Mm-hmm. There's two.
Grab one. Don, is there a chair back there?
Yeah, because Tarja is coming.
Tarja's coming. Nice. Grab a couple chairs right here. And Brianna, right?
Yeah, this is all I don't get to see this many people.
right.
Okay. So the permit item number two that we'll start with as number one. Any Anybody who's coming in now, please sign in right there where you're standing. Thank you. To establish a historical designation, I'm not exactly sure what that means, for the tavern, restaurant, Pioneer Saloon, and retail store. It's for a waiver of development standards to reduce the parking lot landscaping, reduce the setback for non-decorative fencing, increase the fence height, also reviewing the food cart trailer, the existing accessory structures, shipping containers and storage containers, the parking lot redesign, proposed restroom building, and additional and or modificational, including but not limited to an outdoor bar area, outside dining, drinking and cooking areas, and covered patio areas in conjunction with an existing restaurant, retail store, and tavern on 1.4 acres in a C2 zone, generally located on the northwest corner of Spring Street and Fail Street within Good Springs. Did you say you wanted to say something? Yeah.
So, obviously this application is for the Pioneer Saloon, and I guess there's been some confusion over why it still lists Noel or the previous owner as the owner. When the application was submitted, it's like a certain point in time, and at that point in time, the ownership had not changed hands. So it lists the ownership at the day the application was submitted. And I guess there's also been some confusion about the counties approved something without the town being able to weigh in on it or the CAC being able to weigh on it. That has not happened. I don't know where that's coming from, but this application had to be submitted to keep it current. And anybody would have had to do that, any owner, if Noel still owned it, he would have had to do it to keep this application current. So, and to, because this, we heard a couple years ago, and it was to start working on getting things current to the code. And to keep this, by keeping this going, it still gives the owners the ability to keep working on it. Without that, we wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
And so they were granted a temporary business license, and we required them to submit this to show that they were going to continue to work on it. So nothing has been done or approved that doesn't come through you. This is coming through you right now. And then anything they will do in the future will come through you as well. So I don't know if you have questions about the process or how things work, I'd be happy to help. But I just want to make that clarification so that there's no negativity hanging over this. This is a positive thing that we're going to hear from the new owners tonight, and I just wanted to share that. Are there any questions about that before we start?
Does this year or renewal, does that fall under the old application? It's just an extension of time under the old application?
Correct.
And why are they requesting a waiver of development standards? Weren't those other standards on the original application stated?
This was all already approved.
It's the same.
This whole application was already approved, and you have a time limit. And everything didn't get done before that time limit, so they're asking for more time, which is not unusual. And the application doesn't go with the ownership. The application goes with the land. So the land didn't go anywhere. The land's still there. The buildings are still there. These waivers are still needed right now. So just asking to give more time to get this done.
Thank you, Megan. Mm-hmm. Okay, so,
all right,
our new owners of the Pioneer Saloon. You guys go ahead and state your names for...
There's a podium right there.
Perfect. So excited about the podium. Good evening. I am Stephanie Richter.
And I'm Stephen Stotts.
And I'm Jacob Raleigh.
Could you speak to
and we are here tonight to ask for...
Can you take your mask off?
Oh, thank you. We're here tonight to request an extension of the existing land use permit, the one that was filed by the previous owners, for the purposes of us being able to complete a lot of the work that needs to be done on that facility. We know that there are bathrooms and kitchens that are required, and so we're requesting an extension of 18 months so that we can be very thoughtful and intentional of our plans and designs so that we only have to ask for this one time. The reason why we're asking for 18 months in total is because given the current landscape of labor and resources in this current market, we know we would not be able to get it completed in a time sooner than that. Happy to answer any questions.
And we just took over this month, so the previous owner's extension was through December, so it's unrealistic that even if we rush the job that we could get it done by December, but we want to do it right, and we want to have a really nice bathroom facility. And for the last recent the last couple of years, they basically used a food truck as a kitchen over there, and it's not really up to par as far as what we need to have some quality food for you guys. So we want to do a proper kitchen. In the meantime, we're using our barbecue license and we're grilling on the deck, so it's like a cool outdoor grilling vibe. But for the long term, we want a proper kitchen and bathrooms, and we're just asking for an extension to get that done properly. Sir.
You're not going to tear out our iconic restrooms that are there, are you?
Well, they may be relocated somewhere else.
Yeah, somewhere else would be fussing.
Yeah. So part of the thoughtful and intentional planning that we want to do is to make sure that we're using the land that we have available to us appropriately. We would not have chosen that location for bathrooms, and we would not have chosen that location for a food trailer. So we want to make sure that we can design that properly and ensure that it makes sense.
Don, you're talking about the bathrooms actually inside the bar, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, of course.
No, those are gonna stay. Yeah.
They're straight from the 1800s. Everything iconic in the Nevada historical landmark will stay the same. We just want to improve on it, because right now, if that bathroom gets backed up, there's nowhere else to go. So
not a big parking lot.
Yeah. There's either go behind a bush, or we brought in some porta pots in the meantime, but the trailer that's on there is completely non-compliant, and we just have to get rid of that because it's not even ADA compliant. You can't get a wheelchair in there, and we want to have a properly compliant bathroom for everybody. Yes.
Yes. If given the fact that it is already a historical property, any changes that are made to the exterior or to the fascia, do those have to come back for approval based on its historical?
No. So it's only historical by the state of Nevada. It is not federally historical. I got it put on the state historical registry over 12 years ago. That doesn't protect it. So if these owners or any other owners for that matter really wanted to knock the entire thing down, they could. But if it was federally, it would be much more protected, but it can't be federally done unless these folks can find a way to do it that I couldn't find, so which is possible.
It's unlikely.
But it's unlikely.
We know you well.
Yeah, you know me. You know I tried. So I tried my hardest to get it on the Federal Historic Registry, but that requires, it requires two things. One, it requires either less things to have been done to the property that have been done already. So a lot of changes have been made to the property over the last 108 years that made them say, no, you've made too many changes. The other thing is if you can tie a famous person to the property, such as Elvis Presley and Graceland. So you can tie Elvis to Graceland, and that makes it become a federal, it allows it to become federally historic. We can't tie Clark Gable to that or Carol Lombard to that property because we don't have the written documentation for that. So unless somebody can come up with that written documentation to prove that, you know, he in fact sat there, we just can't use that. So that's why the structure in and of itself in that way, just because it's historical, doesn't help it.
But let me point out that as they are making their plans, they will come back with a design review to show their final plans, what they're going to do with developing the site, continuing to develop the site. So that will come back.
Yeah, and part of their design development that we look at as a CAC that will be looked at also by the county is if they try to stay within, I'm going to hopefully say this right, if they try to stay within the design of how the town looks and feels. So they'll try to do that as best as they can, and we'll approve it accordingly. If that makes sense. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, we want to get the site a little better aesthetically, and then also get the parking situation under control and make more room for proper parking instead of people just going all over the, you know, sides of the streets with whoever's property that is. some of what's using up parking space and get that much more organized so it's safer and more aesthetically pleasing. And we'd like to do some nicer landscaping, but everything in the theme of keeping what we all love about it, but just improving on some things like parking and kitchen and bathrooms.
And so are you guys still just, I kind of know the answers to these questions, it's for them.
Sure.
Are you guys still planning on taking out the trailer and the two connexes?
Yes.
Long term, yes.
Long term, yes, of course. In this 18 months stuff. So when those come out, that will allow them more space, obviously, to do things like parking structures.
Yeah, because really having a double wide on there, you really don't want a residence on.
Understand the intentions of a watchman's trailer, which is what it was originally intended to do. Mm-hmm. However, we don't have that same need to have something that's of that size on the property, nor with the intention of having residents.
Could that be zoned for like a little motel back there where the trailer is? Do you have plans for that?
We wouldn't probably put a hotel on that.
Pardon me?
We wouldn't put a hotel on that particular land on that property. There's not enough space for that. It's with 1.33 acres. It's got really just the weekend parking alone. We need to use that space for it. Would be neat with another close by lot to have some kind of hotel. But there's issues of whether there'd be enough water and that kind of stuff for that. So that's not in our initial 18-month plans.
But you've thought about it.
Oh, we've
of
thought
course,
about
we've
everything.
We've thought about a lot of things.
Well, it's been thought of before.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think,
everyone's
yeah.
thought of it.
We're not original, probably, in many of our ideas that we have, and then there's probably a few
There
others.
Actually was a hotel there.
Yes.
Yeah. The big difference was that hotel didn't have a bathroom in every room.
Right. Right. Yeah, back then you didn't have to have
right.
a bathroom
right.
in every hotel. But good question.
Well, I just want to say welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking an interest in the Pioneer and doing what you've got planned to do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate everyone's been so welcoming and
everyone.
Nice, and I can't even tell you. It's been an amazing experience.
Great experience so far.
Thank you. And is it a good time I can talk about our Locals Day?
Absolutely.
There,
okay.
Why not?
So
you're up there.
Okay, cool. So starting next Tuesday, every Tuesday is going to be Locals Day. And so if you show an ID with a local address, Sandy Valley or Good Springs, we give you 50% off any food or merchandise. So that way every Tuesday, no matter what your shift is, if you hit breakfast or lunch or dinner, at least you can get half off, which is the employee discount. So we want to make sure we provide that. And even outside of Tuesdays, you always have a 10% discount. We don't do any discounting on the alcohol because two reasons. One, it's generally not good for a community to encourage volume drinking. Two, our margins are horrible in the alcohol thing, and our ratios are way below industry standards, and so we
have to fix it.
Yeah, even for us as owners, we pay full price for alcohol, or and then the half off for food. But we want to extend that discount to you guys every Tuesday. And we'll probably do fun things and have game nights or, you know, karaoke or bingo or movies or, you know, just kind of make it a fun weekly thing so you feel like you've got your own day or evening that you guys can enjoy. And we'll try to come up with fun stuff. And we're also, they've had this asshole association for many decades. And from my understanding, it was originally more of a charity thing. It's kind of gotten away from that. We want to bring that aspect back to it. And so we want to put like any, they have to.
The initiation fee, 100% of the initiation fee and 25% of the proceeds from any of the merchandise we sell associated with the Asshole Association. We'll get donated.
It was supposed to be funny.
Two good
springs. It'll come back to the kitchen.
It was supposed to be funny.
Right? It wasn't a pun intended, but it was kind of funny anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And we can do that however you guys want to structure that. I don't know if you have an account we can contribute to, or the school, or however. That's up to you guys how you want to use it or
awesome.
Allocate it.
Jerry right here at the, not Megan at the end, very end, but Jerry, the next one, yep. Jerry works with the school pretty closely,
great.
So she's always somebody that you can talk to about how you can handle that with the school.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah.
We're excited to be a part of this community, and we're passionate about it. Even if we don't live here, we kind of do being at the bar all the time.
Yeah, we do right now. But if we're actually looking at spots otherwise, as some of you know, either here or in Sandy Valley, but we just love the community. And like I said, everyone's been so welcoming. So thank you. We want to be good neighbors. We want to do it right. And where customers are happy, employees are happy. We do employ 50% of our employees are from Good Springs. And not one, when we came in, we raised the wages. Not one person makes minimum wage now there. So
thank you for that.
Welcome.
Yeah,
they deserve it.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
hard
working hard.
Good.
Yeah, we're very, very lucky with the team that we've inherited, and we're very pleased with all of them. So, I've done this for a number of years, and I couldn't have asked for a better team.
Everybody
so.
Except this Monica and Dave characters.
You can't trust them.
Do you have other businesses in town? Bars or anything, or restaurants?
Not
in your
this
own
market.
Good question. She's been in the hospitality.
I've been in the hospitality industry for over 25 years, and I have about 8 years under my belt of food and beverage. And so,
at Caesars, is that right?
Yes.
Tarja.
Yes. 25 years.
So if you ever feel like the drinks are expensive at Pioneer, just go to one of our Caesars places, and you'll feel like they're super cheap.
Not my decisions.
There's a couple things that I wanted to ask you about. One is that, you know, that before, there was a lot of trash generated all around, you know, and I don't know how that is now, because I walked down there in a couple, you know, like maybe a month or so. But just so you know, there was a lot of, you know, outside stuff and people carrying things, and I don't know if it had anything to do with the bar, actually. But it's probably like off-road people.
Gotcha.
But no, that's a very good point, and we try to monitor the perimeter. Even yesterday, I walked the surrounding land and picked up trash, because we don't want that to be a problem. But if you ever notice anything specifically, please let us know, and we'll make sure we take care of that.
And what were the plans for the off-road people? Are there any plans for, you know, there was a lot of business from, you know, off-road folks.
Sure.
Is there any plan for, like, an outside edge place for a take drive, or how is that working?
I know there's county plans that are...
That's not the Pioneer Saloon's responsibility, so that would be something that we would have to discuss as a community, you know, with something like this. So that's something we can discuss as a community. That's not something that their responsibility.
All right, but we understand.
Yeah,
yeah, but they understand the problem.
Good question.
Are your draft beers going to be $4.50 a piece still?
Some of them are. It depends on how much the beer costs.
Just for a regular butt draft. As the last time I went there, I told them I'd never drink there again. They could shove it.
Yeah. I don't think we currently have butt draft now that you say that, but it's all going to depend on how much the cost is for this.
Yeah, like I said, our ratios are not good. I mean, our margins are not much.
There's unfortunately a small inflation thing that has happened over the last couple of years as it relates to products like that. So.
Not to mention a distribution problem now.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
And a massive distribution problem.
Yeah, we're caught in the same global supply chain issues as big businesses are, and protein and meats have skyrocketed. So, you know, we're trying to watch all that, but, you know, keep things reasonable, but we don't want to turn around and have to sell it. We're looking at this as a long-term family business that hopefully we can pass down the road. Everything we're thinking is long term.
What is your son's name?
This is Jacob.
He's the day-to-day manager at Pioneer Saloon.
Oh, hi, Jacob.
Nice to meet you.
He's been there quite a bit.
Yes, he's there quite a bit.
Yeah.
More than he'd like to be. Any other questions? Then I'll take a motion to actually bring what we're supposed to be doing to the table here.
Motion to approve.
Before you do that, staff is recommending 2 years until October 20th, 2023.
Instead of 18 months?
Mm-hmm. So it's up to you what you want to give them.
It sounds like a sound recommendation to me.
That's nice of staff. But hopefully soon.
But I need that in the motion.
Yeah, so either what they ask for or the go with staff recommendations.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
For the 2-year extension of time on the waiver of development standards as written, correct?
Yeah, to October 2020.
Do I have a second for that?
Second.
Did you get that, Jerry?
You got it. Approved for staff. That's
okay, open for discussion. Any discussion on that? Or are you ready to vote? Okay, seeing as there's no discussion, we can take a vote. All those in favor?
We just approved
aye.
It.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
Aye. Sorry.
Okay, it's all approved.
Thank you so much. We appreciate
thank
your time.
You everyone.
Thank you.
For 2 years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, is your...
He's not. I'll just go ahead and get started.
Okay. So our next item on the agenda is the Googler VM and CE Family Trust LLC use permits for the following: expansion of recreational facility, major training facility, camping in conjunction with the recreational facility, and a heliport. Waiver of development standards for the following: landscaping, parking area, paving, striping. Design reviews for the following: expansion of recreational facility, major training facility, camping cabins, accessory structures, and a grading plan in conjunction with a hillside development slope greater than 12% on a portion of 375.3 acres in the rural open land zone, generally located 2.2 miles west of Kingston Road, 1.3 miles north of Sandy Valley Road, within Good Springs. This is Adrenaline Mountain, correct?
Correct.
And you are?
And I am Joe Dagger, representing Adrenaline Mountain, and Eric Brashear is just 5 minutes out. He thought that the meeting was at 7:30, and that's what they're handling here, so he'll be here to, you know, really answer any questions you may have and dive in into more detail than what I will provide.
I'm sure if he's 5 minutes out, he'll be in plenty of time to do that.
Okay, wonderful. So just by way of background, I'm sure you're all familiar with this property. This property is zoned RU, Rural Open Land, and Master Plan Open Land.
Can you speak a little louder?
Tarja.
You can take your mask off.
Tarja.
Sure. It's about
Tarja.
3 miles
why don't you sit right there?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize. I had the timer on.
Eric, you were not 5 minutes out. You're 1 second out.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. He did text me he was 5 minutes out.
Did you
if you don't mind
RV?
It.
Sorry.
Are you?
Oh, are you? Okay.
And master plan open land. And it's about 3 miles north, northwest from here. So the site totals 375 acres, and it primarily has four different sites, as we'll show you on some of the exhibits that will be passed out. Now, a portion of the property was previously approved.
If you all could turn your phones off or on mute, that would be fabulous.
Like right
a portion
now?
Of the property was previously approved in 2017 by the Planning Commission for a recreational facility and minor training facility for an outdoor shooting range. Now, with that approval came various waivers for landscaping, parking lot requirements, and corresponding design review. We are here today to add additional uses and accessory structures to the existing operation at the property. So we're adding additional uses based on the 2017 approval. And these uses include axe throwing, car crushing with heavy equipment and off-road vehicles, along with a shooting range. We're also proposing a wedding chapel after they go axe throwing or vice versa.
Yeah, get over it.
And we're also requesting a use permit for a helipad. Now, similar to the prior improvements, the natural topography on the land will remain the same, so we will not be requesting any grading on the property. Again, we are only adding additional uses to the existing recreational facility. Mr. Brashear has been operating for several years, and he's made changes to his business to ensure the safety of guests and the residents of Good Springs. And he'll get into additional details about that, and I'll ask him to go over those changes in a bit.
but know that the Mr. Brashear understands the importance of being a good neighbor and will continue to mitigate any potential concerns that this board has or that this community has as we move forward with this. Again, all we're doing today is requesting for additional uses on this site based on the 2017 approval. Your staff recommended approval. We're grateful to staff's recommendation for approval. And I'll open it up right now to Mr. Brashear to go over some of what
question.
He's done.
I'm sorry, because you're saying that staff has already approved this in 2017 to have all of these, the recreation facilities and all of that. You've repeated that a few times, that staff already approved it in 2017.
Your planning commission approved it in 2017 for a recreational facility, and with that there was a minor training facility for an outdoor shooting range. That was what was approved by the planning commission.
Right, I just want to make it clear that staff has not approved
what
they're
tonight?
Asking for now.
Staff is recommending approval in your staff report, and that's what I said, that according to your staff report,
I just want to make sure.
Yeah,
and
they're recommending
approval. And if you could, again, say your name, and you're here representing Adrenaline Mountain, and what is your, are you?
So I'm their counsel.
Okay.
And our firm.
So you're with Chris Kempfer?
I'm with Kempfer Pearl. Right.
Okay. And your name again?
Joe. And last name Dagher, D-A-G-H-E-R.
Perfect. Thank you, Joe. I'm sorry to
interrupt.
I'm just taking notes.
Sure, no problem. So at this time, I'd like to open it up to Mr. Brashear to give you an overview of what he's done recently and talk more about his project.
Thank you. And again, my apologies for being late. I had the time wrong. And if you could bear with me, I had surgery yesterday on my shoulder, and so I'm on painkillers. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to read the handout that I just gave you guys. I want to talk about the fires to begin with, because I think that that's first and foremost on everybody's mind and the changes that we've made to address those issues. When we had our first fire back in mid-2018 caused by a ricochet into dry grass, we learned that the three lines of defense that we were able to contain the fire within about 30 acres, roughly 850 yards from ignition and 2.5 miles from town. Not knowing if this was a freak accident or not, we remained diligent. 3 years later, we had our second fire in a ricochet in April of 2021. Through the immediate response of our firefighting efforts, along with the efforts of professionals, we were able to contain that fire to about 40 acres. After this fire, I immediately began to take steps to increase our firefighting capability, researching wildland fire sprinklers to knock down the fire caused by the ricochets. When we had the last fire from the ricochet in May of 2021, before we could implement the sprinkler system, I knew I had to do something different despite this being contained to about 23 acres. In the time that we've been on that property, we've shot almost 2 million bullets downrange, with three of them igniting the above-mentioned fires. But two fires in such a close time frame called for a different course of action, so I immediately shifted my thinking from firefighting to fire prevention. We now have taken the following steps to prevent fires in the future. We no longer shoot onto the mountain and have confined our shooting to the canyon floor. We have removed all the vegetation from the shooting range portion of the canyon floor, eliminating large rocks and ricochets and any vegetation to act as fuel for the fire. We've created giant dirt berms and only shoot into the dirt berms recommended by the assistant fire chief. We created a fire road to access the top of the mountain, which was a no small task. And to access the top of the mountain behind the shooting range, that will enable us to use our heavy equipment to cut a fire break along the top of the mountain and maintain this fire break by removing vegetation year-round. In addition to our prevention efforts, we've added to our firefighting assets, which now include a four-wheel drive 1,500-gallon fire truck with a water cannon, water trailer with fire hoses, 2,000 gallons of water, a 2,000-gallon water truck with fire hoses, a total of 15,000 gallons of water storage on site, firefighting tools including shovels, McLeod tools, and radios to coordinate firefighting efforts. We are also in the process of installing our wildland fire sprinkler system that will soak the face of the mountain. The addition of our new fire road will also allow us to head off any fires quickly, and the fire break will help stop the spread. We feel very strongly that these steps that we've taken will all but eliminate chance of a fire. If you have any questions about fires, I'm happy to answer those.
Why don't you just keep going?
Okay.
And we'll take questions.
And I know another issue that Megan had expressed to me was some residents felt that the vans were speeding through town. So our response to that was that we installed these kind of high-tech GPS geofencing dash cams in each of the vehicles. And the geofencing allows us to get immediate notification if the van exceeds the speed limit in town. So I'll know immediately. And I'll tell you that due to an incident, you know, and the drivers live the drivers know that if they're caught speeding, that they're immediately terminated. We had a driver who got into it with one of the residents, and he was immediately terminated as a result of that. The longer-term solution that we're working on is to extend our existing right-of-way from the road that accesses our property straight across the desert to the Good Springs Bypass Road. Once approved by the BLM, this solution will reroute all traffic to our facility and away from town. This new road will also reduce the amount of dirt road driven on by about 1.25 miles. With regard to the expansion that Joe touched on earlier, the expansion we're working on will enable us to diversify the activities we're offering, which will also include off-road tours. I learned a while back that Good Springs residents do not appreciate off-road vehicles driving through the streets of the town. Because of this, our tours will come anywhere near the town, and the bulk of our tour will be conducted on a 375-acre property, 3.5 miles from town. Because it's our property, we can take steps to mitigate dust by using a dust palliative on our private trails. Our application also includes a helipad. The approach for the Las Vegas helicopter companies we utilize when flying to our property is a direct route that is miles away from Good Springs, nearer to Mount Potosi. We anticipate that the only occasional helicopter will bring VIPs to our facility and no noise will be heard in Good Springs. The activities we're adding are archery, axe throwing, off-road tours, drive a monster truck, operate construction equipment, a wedding chapel for small shotgun weddings, and in the future we plan on adding camping cabins built in the style of the area's mining history, and future plans include a restaurant called the Off-Road Grill that we believe will attract local off-roaders away from the town of Good Springs and directly to our location from the off-road trails. Our goal is to create a unique attraction while continuing to strive to be a good neighbor to the residents of Good Springs. And if you have any questions or concerns, my cell phone is on there and I invite you to call, whether it's tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month. You're always welcome to call me and ask me anything you like. Yes?
This is the existing shooting range.
Correct.
Out there.
Correct.
Now.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. We're just expanding to do additional activities.
All right. Would you feel better taking a seat, Eric, so that you can sit down and...
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm just, you know...
Are you acquiring more land, or do you actually own the 375 acres?
So, 100 acres, the initial 100 acres that we have, the shooting range is on, we lease, and we're in the process of purchasing 275 acres that's adjacent to it.
Why do you need so much?
Because the BLM isn't issuing permits for off-road trails anymore to off-road companies, and we went out and bought a bunch of off-road vehicles and then went to go get our permit for it, and they said we're not issuing any more of those, and so we went next door and determined that we could use that property and put the off-road trails on there and not have to go on BLM land. Yeah, I'm sorry, shoes.
I just had a question regarding your heliport. How many flights do you anticipate a day?
Oh, I would say a month. You might be looking at two or three, maybe. I mean, we had an idea that we wanted to do shoot from a helicopter like our neighbors do. We've since possibly abandoned that idea. It's not really what's on our forefront, but the application was already started, and for helicopter companies to bring VIP clients out, we would need the helipad for that. We'd already gotten the FAA approval, so we're just following through with it.
Isn't that pretty expensive to have one flight a month and have a helicopter and heliport?
It's not going to be. It's going to be like Maverick and people like that. Sundance, they'll fly out. Maverick and other companies.
Did the FAA establish a standard arrival procedure, standard departure procedure for rotor aircraft?
Well, they came out and approved the site. Yeah, they came out. The site inspection approved it. We have the letter of approval. As a matter of fact, we flew our drone to take some photos the other day, and it says airports right here, so you can't go higher than 400 feet. So.
And that's also a condition of approval to this application.
Gotcha. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we've got approximately 4 or 5 off-road companies operating around here now.
Yes.
And your off-road, is that going to be limited to your property area only, or is it going to be throughout the surrounding desert area?
No. All right, so the bulk of our tour is going to be done on our property. We may can take the road out that accesses our property out to Kingston, go towards Sandy Valley about 200 or 300 yards, and come back onto our property from a different road, from a different access point, which is essentially the old Kingston Road.
Also, second question is, with the cabins that you're going to build there, or want to build there, what kind of support structures are you going to use for that? They can't just be set out there with no food, or do you plan on dining facilities out there too?
Well, yeah, that's something that we have slated for that whole phase of the expansion. We're going to be looking at putting a restaurant in out there as well.
Are you going to allow RVs, or is it just your structures that people are going to be camping in?
Just
going to
be our structures. Yes.
What's your time frame on all of this?
Well, it says in the thing, the archery axe throwing down to the wedding chapel are somewhat immediate. The other things are probably 1 to 2 years out. The cabins and the wedding chapel. I'm sorry, the cabins and the restaurant.
So this will be a 24-hour thing eventually?
No.
Where if you have cabins out there,
there'll be 6 cabins out there, and people will stay out there, but we won't have a restaurant and bar.
But we have a manager out there?
We already have security out there. We have people out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yes, sir.
Are you going to plan on using those razors for your off-road tours?
Yes.
Because I hate those razors. I used to go out in this whole desert in a 2-wheel drive S10 truck, and they've destroyed it where you can't even get through it on a damn razor without it beating you to hell.
Yeah, it's that.
I think that would make them all go to dunes or private land like you have.
Yeah, I agree with you.
My aunt just lives up on the hill, and they're up there, and they stir up so much dust. I'd like to go out and shoot at them, but it's against the law.
That's against the law. You just got that gentleman's attention back. Yes, sir.
Once you get cabins and a restaurant and all that, are the people going there going to be coming through our town, or are they going to be going to dirt roads together?
Well, we're working on that. I've already started the process of applying to BLM to extend our existing right of way over to the Good Springs Bypass Road.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we want to route, because I know that I know y'all live here for a particular reason,
yeah,
and we don't want to increase the traffic that comes through here. So this is a putting in this road to extend to the Good Springs Bypass will keep all of our traffic out of here.
Are you talking about the gravel road bypass?
Correct. Yeah.
Are you going to pave it?
I don't think that we'll be able to pave it because it's a BLM. It'll be a BLM road, but we're going to put it in. We're going to do gravel. And it'll be just like a regular.
And your vans are going to drive on that?
Yeah, just like they do on Kingston. So.
Once you're up and running at capacity, about how many people do you think are going to be on the property at any given time?
At any given time, we're projecting 30 to 40 at any given time, but that'll also be on a flow. So we're hoping
that's employees or.
Be guests.
How many employees?
Roughly 10 at that time.
So, honestly, you're not going to like me so much because I think we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
I'd like to talk about you being a good neighbor.
Okay.
How has Good Springs benefited from you being here for last 4 or 5 years?
4 years, yeah.
Yeah. How has our town benefited from you being here?
Well, that's a question. I think the only answer I have for that is it's a little ambiguous because I don't know who dumps their trash and their furniture off of Kingston Road, but we've picked up loads and loads and loads of furniture that people have dropped. I don't know where that comes from, so I don't know.
That's what you have to offer us, is that you pick up trash? Come on.
Well,
Eric, I know a little bit more about this.
One of the things that we wanted to offer was cleanup where we sponsored a dumpster here, and we wanted, and we were going to offer to pick up any old cars that people, you know, want to get rid of and things like that. So there are things that we're happy to participate and be a good neighbor, but we don't know what's really needed.
Yeah,
but I know it's needed when you're driving down Kingston Road and there's piles of trash and junk, and so we have
picked one up. Of the things we know is needed is for this road that you're talking about to be built. That's a good neighbor.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we're looking to do.
So really, we haven't really benefited from you being here, and that your tune is a little bit different than it was when you were asking for our approval.
I'm not sure the difference that you're referring to.
Well, what would you like to see from Eric?
He meant that our town would benefit from him having a business here.
Right, but what would you like to see from him?
Has he hired anyone that lives in Good Springs?
No, we haven't. It's not because we don't want to. We would be happy to. We run ads and nobody's responded.
Where do you run your ads, Eric?
In Indeed.
I'm just looking for a positive impact for you being here. Besides the three fires, and then my other question about, you telling us about the fire in 2018, and then gosh, again in April of 2021 and May of 2021. Why did it take so long for you to say, "Well, finally, when we had our third fire, it's time to do something"?
Well, we did something after the first fire. We increased our firefighting capability, and we didn't know how much of a problem it was going to be until 3 years later when we had the second fire. And then we increased our, and then I took steps to increase our firefighting capability then by putting the giant, researching and we're now installing the giant sprinklers that will go onto the mountain and extinguish.
But has it been installed?
No, not yet, no.
Okay.
And then when the May fire hit, I'm like, that's too many fires too fast. So we're going to change our business model. One of our claims to fame as a shooting range was we had one of the longest sniper targets that you could access, which was 500 yards, but it was up the mountain. Mm-hmm. So now the longest target you can shoot at our range is 200 yards. So we've changed that so that we don't shoot onto the mountain anymore because we can't control the vegetation on the mountain. We can control the vegetation on the floor, ground floor, and we've done that. And if you continue to flip through the packet I gave you, you'll see the pictures. You'll see before and after.
I saw them.
And as far as, what we've done for Good Springs, nobody's asked us to do anything. And we'd be happy to
participate in anything here. You haven't participated in any community events. You haven't gotten involved. We haven't seen you at anything unless you needed something from us.
This is a start.
It's a start. But he's here, he's only here, not as a good neighbor. He's here because he wants to do more and make it bigger. And as you can tell, I am not comfortable with this. I think that probably everyone here might be afraid of another fire.
Well, and that's why we've taken the steps that we have.
I have a question.
Yes.
So for the fire prevention, what type of capital are you talking about for that amount of firepower? For like your berms, for removing the brush, for
we've
your
already done all that.
I know, but like, what is it? It's like, I mean, if I just so I understand, obviously
excavation was $12,500.
Right. Like the sprinklers, I'm sure were super.
The sprinklers
expensive.
Were $35,000.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mean you've invested heavily financially to prevent the fires? I mean, I don't know if it would be, but I know it would be a decent amount.
Yeah, it's reasonable. Yeah. It continues as well.
How can you guarantee if you're going from a 500-yard range down to 200, how can you control people from shooting up range?
Nobody shoots without my range safety officers standing right next to them, and we control where they aim and where they shoot.
Each customer has somebody monitoring?
100% of the time standing right next to them.
So you don't have more than 10 people shooting at once if you only have 10 employees?
We have 4 people shooting at once. Yeah.
And now you're going to expand that?
Not the shooting.
So
but if we do, we don't. We're not the kind of range where we just hand guns to people and say.
Well, I would hope not.
No. So we have people that are there, 100% of the time supervising.
Okay.
Well, and even if they're supervising, it doesn't mean that supervisor, that safety person, can prevent a fire, especially if you only have 10 employees.
Well, we used to shoot sniper rifles, and it was the sniper rifles that would ricochet off the rocks. We would shoot sniper rifles, which are very intentional, and they would ricochet off the rocks on the mountain. So now we no longer shoot them onto the mountain.
So that's just the fires from ricocheting gunfire. What if you have an electrical fire? What if you have a fire in this proposed campground? Do you have the facility for that?
Yes, we do.
As you can tell, I have like 25 questions.
Sure, and I'm happy to answer them all.
Good.
You know, we have, like I said, we have fire trucks. I've listed the assets here that we have. We have the capability of fighting fires.
And beyond that, you keep saying we.
I mean we as a company.
That's okay. What's your position and what's your connection to Adrenaline Mountain?
I own it.
Do you?
I started and I own it, yeah.
You're not listed as the owner. In fact, you're listed as a manager.
That's because it's a LLC.
Yeah, so LLCs can be member manager or manager managed. So just
right,
being the manager.
The owner is actually, I have it listed. The owner of the business is not actually you. And you actually signed this land use application as the property owner. And you don't own any of this property, Eric.
I have lease.
Right.
I have a lease that's longer than 5 years, which allows me to sign.
I understand that. I do understand the difference between owning and leasing and the responsibility that goes with that. When in fact the owners of the property are Ram Corporation, which is a professional engineering company and an excavation company.
That's my landlord on the 100-acre
right.
property. Yeah,
sure.
I thought you asked who owned Adrenaline Mountain, the company.
Well, right. But you also signed this as the property owner, which you are not.
When the
he can
Megan,
they can sign
Megan
if there's a 5-year lease, they can sign as the owner.
I'm asking for clarity. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked
so
up
when
county
there's a,
documents and found a lot of things that didn't just fall in line.
Okay. When there's a 5-year lease or longer, you're allowed to sign as the owner, as the tenant.
So when is your lease up?
Yeah, that was mine.
It's up in another 7 years. It was an 11-year lease 4 years ago.
With an
yes.
operation potentially this size, you've got off-roading, archery, shooting, cabins, a heliport. I mean, proposed, that's what you're looking for.
Right.
What type of emergency personnel are you going to have on hand for this type of an operation?
We currently have, typically have a, what's the term I'm looking for? Constrained. Sorry. Yeah, it's not emergency personnel, but people are trained in EMT first aid type training.
CPR?
Yes, stuff like that, yeah.
We hire Marines.
Yeah, we hire Marines, a lot of Marines, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I asked this board to respectfully oppose. Can I voice that now, or is that later on?
What was that you wanted to do?
Can I ask that the board oppose this application? Can I do that at this time, or no?
You can say what you want to say right now.
Okay.
And when we open it for our discussion.
This seems like an irresponsible business plan, so I oppose this. So as a landowner in this area.
Can I ask why you think it's irresponsible?
I think that it just seems like a lot of momentum given to... It seems irresponsible to me, and I'm sorry. I don't know how to voice that. It just... all seems very reckless. You know, 3 fires within a span of 5 years, and you're hoping and you think and it might be enough.
Well, I think
I mean, I value the desert, and you just scraped it for shooting pleasure.
Well, it's private property, and we have the right to do that.
Yes, you do.
And
I have a right to oppose it.
Sure.
So,
and you do. And we hear you.
Okay. Yes.
Debbie?
Yes. I just have a few questions regarding the fire. My name is Debbie Long, and I've lived here for a long, long time.
Yes.
A lot of us were here in 2005 when the fire broke out, not far from where you are. My
right.
husband was the fire chief at the time. We lost 37,000 acres around us, so a lot of us are a little spooked about hearing there's been fires out there.
Right.
You've got lots of equipment. Are any of your 10 employees trained with this equipment? Because volunteers have to go through a lot to learn how to control water cannons.
Right.
Fire hoses, pulling fire hoses, how to trench.
We got instructional training for Fire Trucks Unlimited, and we purchased our fire truck on how to operate it, and we've practiced with it. We've done fire, essentially, literally fire.
And there will always be somebody there 24 hours a day.
24 hours a day there is.
That's trained in this.
Yeah, well, the security is not trained in it. The security that comes
so
in.
So if it breaks out at night from an
ember
from
they can make
campfire.
The phone call immediately. And
but do you realize where we are that we don't have access to fire trucks immediately? We have a volunteer department.
Right.
And then the other one is 8 miles down the road. And we had a lightning strike in 2005.
Right.
And it went from, what is there, 5 acres? And in 30 minutes, it was, in 30 minutes, it was out
right.
of control.
But if we're not doing any activities.
But you're going to camp and have campfires because I read it. There's going to be campfires up there. You can wait by the campfire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if those campfires aren't put out right, and the wind up here is unbelievable. A flip of wind can reignite a fire.
The fire department has approved campfires up there already?
No, we don't. We don't have the permits yet. We don't run.
I'll be surprised if that.
When we found out, well, when you see them, you know, you can read about them on paper. It's one thing, but when you see that they are about 75 feet from any vegetation or anything like that in all directions, minimum. It's a different story, but we're going to go through the permit process for the fire pits.
What kind of structure are you going to have for those?
I'm sorry?
What kind of structure are you going to have for said campfire? Is it going to be in brick? Is it going to be just laying on the ground? Is it going to be in one of those things that you buy at Walmart, you know?
We have it.
I don't think he knows that.
Yeah, we have it.
Well, that's something that will be vetted during the permitting process.
Right, with the permit,
But what you're doing is you're asking for permission for that right now, correct?
I'm asking
that vetting process.
Well, the fire pits, I think, are done through not through the land use process.
Right, but you're asking for a lot here. You're not taking like one. I'll start this and then go here and then go here. You want the whole ball of wax approved today.
Well, I was actually advised that if you're going to do the permit, you should ask for everything that you plan on doing even 2 years out.
And I have no doubt you'll probably get it through the city, but I also have concerns. Yeah. My daughter lives up here. Her husband lives up here. And I heard you say, you tell her that everybody was trained. Well, you told me that they weren't.
I didn't say that everybody was trained. I said
on the water gun, you said somebody's going to be trained up there. Well, they weren't trained because they didn't put the fire out. The guy that was trained was on an ATV tour.
Yeah, and he got terminated as a result.
Regardless.
Well, there's always a human error factor. You'll notice that I'm not addressing.
Well, you're covering. You want to do so much stuff with a limited amount of people. You're going to need more than 10 people to, pull this off.
Well, and as we grow, we will add those people.
That's why I wanted to know about maximum occupancy. Like, how many people are coming up that two-lane road? And, and then also I have another question, which is, is any alcohol going to be up there? Because you got people staying overnight and having campfires. Are they going to be out there partying and drinking? And
we have security, and I can't stop people from having alcohol.
It's your property. In your business, you can't stop them?
Well, if they're renting the cabin.
If they're drinking at night and they're running around with their marshmallows, they can get something on fire, whatever they're doing,
It's like renting a hotel room.
It's like renting a hotel room. It's difficult to.
With 5 acres of nothing but dirt, the marshmallows are going to catch it on fire, huh?
I don't know.
It must pass on.
I see campfires out there at night. Because I walk out there a lot.
Although I do want to say, obviously, mixing firearms and alcohol is not a great idea.
Right.
Well, we don't allow people to shoot.
I'm just saying.
Hey, everybody, we got to kind of keep it a little mellow.
Can't
get
a hotel.
Alcohol and
work out. Please, sir.
Eric, basically, my question is, you're expanding, like almost quadrupling what you have right now. Is what you have up there now all in compliance? In other words, as I recall, the initial permit was for shooting essentially.
Right.
But it seems that there's more than shooting already going on there. So wouldn't that be the first thing to be able to do, just to get that all in compliance?
That's exactly what we're doing here today.
Then ask for a way to increase it.
That's exactly what we're doing today. So
it doesn't sound like that.
No, it feels like we're doing both.
No, you're not.
It feels to us it appears that you're doing both.
Okay, let me just address that real quick. So basically, I misunderstood when I had a recreational permit. I misunderstood to think that I could have any recreational activity out there that was sort of, you know, in the genre. And Megan pointed out to me that I was only a shooting range. And that's when we started the process, which was a year ago this month. We started the process to get the land use permits because we were doing archery axe throwing, off-road tours, driving a monster truck, and operating the heavy equipment. And we put in the wedding chapel. You know, I didn't know that we needed individual permits for those. And so that's what we're doing here today, is just to get the individual permits for those. I was told that we stopped doing those.
Because I worked for the guy who was king of this, the king of Good Springs, to get his hand slapped every time he was in compliance.
Well, and that's not what I want to do. I mean, I will tell you this. I've been in business for 35 years, 37 years now, I'm older. And it's not until this business that I've ever had to deal with zoning or land use permits or anything like that. And I've unfortunately had to learn things the hard way. But I am learning, and I am here getting, attempting to get compliant today. Yes?
I kind of see in your paperwork, you mentioned something, but it is not in the legal jargon here on the
staff report.
It sounds like the cart is before the horse. You've got cabins, but the most important thing is the road that is from the bypass. Here you've got your cabins 2 years out, but you don't even mention the road in here, which has to come first before anything else comes.
Well, the road is, there's an existing road, obviously, to get out to the property, but the road is a...
isn't that our biggest problem, is that you go all through the...
Some of us feel that is the biggest problem.
Right, which is why I'm going to spend $30,000 to put a road in.
It's not mentioned even in here.
I don't think it's a county issue. It's a BLM issue. I have a right of way, and I just need to extend that right of way. And we've already been in contact with the BLM and started that process.
Is that right, Megan, that it's not a county issue? The road off the bypass to go around our town?
Yes, that is accurate. It's not our land to say he can drive on it. But as far as the county is concerned, when a project comes in, they have to prove legal access. And they have legal access on public roads. So... by the letter of the law, yes, they have legal access to their property.
It's just not legal access that we prefer.
Right, which is why I'm going to the trouble of the...
But what she's trying to say is that we would like to see that happen before
your
cabins.
Well, and I can pretty much assure you that it will happen before
but
the cabins.
It doesn't say that in here.
Well, you can.
We can make that.
You can make that a condition.
A condition
of
approval.
I understand that. Well, when we get to discussing
sure.
it
okay.
as an actual board.
Okay. Yes.
One more thing. Okay, so having dealt with the existing bypass road for 3 years for sure, trying to get that one approved, and it really had a lot of good things for it. So you're looking at, a couple of years for sure, just like what they've just said. Wouldn't it be better to have that a lot farther along before this other plan would be approved?
I don't... It didn't take me long to get my right-of-way on the... It took me about a year to get the right-of-way on the
That right-of-way,
existing
of course,
right-of-way.
Existed for... You're talking about the right-of-way that comes off of Wilson Pass Road up to your place?
Correct, yeah.
Well, that road, of course, has existed since the mines were up there, right? The other road is not... There was a road, obviously, that went from those mines on that side of that little hill over here.
Right.
Which makes great sense, and that's the way it should be. You should access it that way.
Right.
I'm just saying that it doesn't happen that fast. At least it never has before, unless you get
some really good connections at BLM.
And I can't speak to that. I don't know. I'm too new. I think I'm too new in the process. I mean, I asked, and they, you know, they said it could be a year. It could be a year and a half. Yes.
Is that your dumpster out on Sandy Valley Road that has a sign that says "Keep our deserts clean," or everyone takes trash and throw it?
No, that was put out there by a group in Sandy Valley.
Well, that's a fantastic thing.
That would be a good neighbor.
I'd be happy to do that. I just need to know what's needed and what's wanted. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd make a suggestion that on the fire issue that you might get with the Sandy Valley Fire Department and the Good Springs Fire Department and maybe a person from county or whoever they suggest firefighting and address your equipment and give their opinion if they're ready to go, if they're not ready to go. They need to make these modifications to come back with that. I think that might alleviate some of the concerns. If you have the capability and the equipment to take care of things.
We have sent, Chief Hadu, Assistant Fire Chief Hadu, was on scene for the last two fires. And we, you know, and of course I talked to him and I said, what can we do? That would be, you know, what could we do to, and he said, well, you could, you know, do a giant dirt berm and shoot into that. And he gave us suggestions, and he suggested a different type of fire hose than we were using. And so we got those fire hoses, and we built the giant berm. And he said, if you send me your fire plan, I'll send it to BLM and get their opinion on it as well. And we did that about a month ago. Yes?
But having the two fire departments check your guys out and make sure that
sure.
we think that you are ready is a good idea.
Yeah,
that's a good name.
Absolutely, sure.
That's a good name.
Yes.
Yeah, me again. so I've highlighted all of the parcels that he wants to include in this expansion development. Eric, can you tell me what the neighboring properties might think of that? Have you inquired with them? Have you gotten any comments from the adjacent property owners?
There's only one adjacent property owner, and that's the Silver Mine.
That's not true. I'm looking at the map right here. These are four parcels listed on two land use applications. And in fact, two parcels are owned by Ram Corporation.
Correct.
Who I mentioned already. They're professional engineers and an excavation company.
That's my landlord. That's my landlord on the 100-acre
project.
Right.
Are they leasing this property to you? Because you keep saying, you know, we. Are they your new business partners? Or
when I say we, I'm referring to us as the company, as us, the company Adrenaline Mountain.
To Adrenaline.
Ram Corporation, to be clear, Ram Corporation is my landlord on the original 100 acres.
Okay.
And the adjacent property is Gubler. And
right.
Gubler is who we're in the process of purchasing that property from. We have a lease option with them. And as you know, when we receive zoning approval, then we're going to exercise the option.
So do you have a current lease with Ram for the additional approximately 99 acres right now?
I'm not sure what additional 99 acres you're referring to.
Well, parcel ending in 003, 42.35 acres, and parcel ending in 005, 57.84 acres is currently owned by Ram Corporation.
The two parcels that we have, yeah, that's the lease we have 7 years left on.
You have 7 years left. Does that include the current 100 acres that you're talking about? Is that
is the current 100 acres
okay.
we're talking about.
So talk to me about Gubler, with 275, give or take, acres, parcels 001 and 003, how does Gubler Family Trust sit in your business plan?
We have a lease option with Gubler Family Trust that once we obtain the land use approvals, then we exercise the lease option.
How long is your lease
to
right
purchase.
Now? How long is your lease right now? Do you have a current lease?
Yes, we have
Gubler?
A current lease, yes.
And how long is your lease?
It's a year.
1 year. And then after that, you're going to purchase the property from them?
Yes. Not after it, during. As soon as we receive land use permits, we're exercising the option. It's mostly a technicality because I don't want to get stuck with 275 acres that I can't get land use permits on. So
no.
We structured it that way.
It's not a technicality. You either own it or you don't, or you lease it or you don't.
You want to get it while you're in the process.
The part that I find interesting is the land use on it. It's a single family residential. Are you going to ask for rezone for commercial on all four of these parcels?
I think the alternative to rezoning commercial is land use, special use permits. And I think that's the direction that we're going in right now.
For what you have now, but just for the record, you can't get a use permit for a restaurant on those properties. You're not zoned for it, and you can't get a use permit for it.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So, yeah, then we will most likely go for that.
Like you really are unsure, because there's a lot of words that you've used, like, I'm pretty sure we're going to work on that. I clearly have a large voice right now in this, and as you can see, I did a little bit of homework. I am deathly afraid of fire, and that's just the number one thing. You know, to have all of this development, and unfortunately, I know a little bit about you personally, and...
What do you know about me personally?
Oh, let's see. Do you really want to go there?
No, sure.
You really don't want to
go there. No, that's not.
Are you addressing the smear campaign that was done by a con artist?
No.
Okay.
No. We'll save that maybe for another day, because that doesn't matter. It really, really doesn't. Everybody, my first thing is the fire. And the fire that kept going. And now you're going to try and make it bigger and better and more stuff. Come to find out, you're already doing this stuff. And you violated...
Well, we're not doing all the other stuff.
No, you stopped it because you got caught.
Well, it's not that I got caught. It was explained to me that we didn't fall under our permit.
And it's easy to ask forgiveness rather than permission.
That's not what my intention was.
But of course not. Now...
I already had a permit going for the helipad. I could just as easily have included all these things in there had I known I needed them.
Did you not already advertise for shooting from a helicopter?
Yeah, before we found out we needed a helipad for it.
Oh, so you were going to let your customers come and shoot from a helicopter without coming to Good Springs or the county and say, hey, can I do this? Because you were only given the right or permit to do a shooting range, and yet you have done so much more than that.
Well, I thought the shooting from a helicopter fell within the purview of the shooting range until I found out that I need a helipad for that, and so we immediately stopped that. And by the way, we never sold one of those. We never did one.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, but you also were not clear about whether you intend to still do that.
I'm sorry. I addressed that earlier. I'm 99% sure that we're not going to be doing that.
Not going to be doing writing
anything? What was the question?
You didn't hear the question.
I don't particularly want to commit at this time for the future to something that I'm not sure if I'm going to do or not. But I'm just sharing with you. I'm 99% sure I'm not going to do that.
We didn't hear it.
Whether I was going to do shooting from a helicopter or not.
Yeah.
And that's another one of the way that you use words to give yourself an out, to give yourself permission to do something without coming to the people of Good Springs.
No,
do it.
Let me be very clear. I'm sorry. Let me be very clear about something, okay? I have learned an extremely valuable lesson. I know that a lot of people think that I just thought I was going to do this and beg forgiveness, and that is not at all what my plan was. That was not at all what my plan was. I'm sorry that that's what you're used to. That's not how I'm used to doing business for 37 years. I've learned a very valuable lesson, especially in dealing with Megan, who's been the messenger of that lesson. I've learned a very valuable lesson, and in fact, I'm probably not going to make another move without talking to Megan first, no matter how small. And the fact of the matter is, I'm just trying to build a business. I'm not super rich. I'm not even rich. I'm just trying to build a business, and I'm trying to create a cool attraction for people 3.5 miles from the nearest town. And I'm trying to do it. You know, we talk about all this other stuff. I mean, archery and axe throwing is pretty benign. You know, the off-road tours is going to be pretty much confined. The bulk of it confined to my own property, and I can control the dust on my own property. So I have all these things that I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to be. trying to do it right. But I know you like to think that I'm smart enough to go, screw them. You know, I'm not thumbing my nose at the system. As soon as I found out what was required, and these guys aren't cheap. I promise you, I'm spending a significant amount of money. I spent a significant amount of money to for the fire prevention. Although that just seems to be like, oh, well, you should have done that in the beginning. Well, we didn't know that fires were going to be an issue in the beginning. And, you know, when...
But wait, how long have you operated a shooting range?
Were
you on the shooting range in Boulder City?
Yes.
So in that time, you never thought that fire would be an issue when you're shooting a gun?
No.
Wow. That's impressive.
I had an issue on this property. We've had 3 fires out of 2 million rounds. I didn't know. But as soon as we had the second and third.
But in all your years of experience, you never thought that shooting a firearm may cause a fire?
No, not in the, no, I didn't. Okay. Or I wouldn't have done it.
Okay.
Well, it did. And so this town is...
And I addressed it.
2 main concerns are fire prevention and the road situation.
Right.
Keeping your folks and, quite honestly, any folks, outsiders, off the road as much as possible
right.
within town. Those are probably our 2 biggest concerns.
Right, and I'm working towards both of those.
Yes. But we have to make sure that as a town board, we have to make sure that when in our recommendation, if we go ahead and give you a recommendation to go ahead and do all of the things that you're asking for in this waiver, that we make sure that we put in the things also that we think
sure.
will help.
And I'd like to point out as well that 99% of our business is tourists. We pick these people up from the Strip. And we bring them here, and we do it 6 times a day. And it's just because we add archery or axe throwing or off-road tours doesn't mean that we're going to increase the amount of trips that we come. It's just the vehicles are just going to be fuller.
And you didn't think you needed permission to do off-road tours?
I didn't know that I needed permission to do off-road tours until Megan pointed it out to me.
And, are you
and
still,
that's what we're here for.
Are you
now.
Still parking at our trailhead here?
No, then and there was no. First of all, it wasn't me, it was one of my employees.
Wow.
And when
it's
Megan.
Your responsibility.
I understand that. And that's why when Megan pointed out to me that that was an issue for her, then I said something to the employee and he hasn't parked there since. And I actually looked myself and there was no signs that indicated that.
That's
but,
true.
You know, we based on
and
what
for
Megan
what it's
said.
Worth, both of us live on the road that your employees drive on, and since she had that talk with you, we will say, although we still hate all the traffic coming down our road, it has significantly, the speed limit has significantly
right.
gone down.
Yeah, no, I you know, I drive, it's funny because the employees tease me that I'm the problem because I drive 15 miles an hour. And they say, you make us look like we're going fast when we're going 20 or 25.
I'm sorry,
so.
I have to say something. I went on to your reviews on TripAdvisor.
Yes.
And you have a review on September 20th of 2021. And you have a employee in a transit van going 60 miles per hour. And the van went sideways. And that is a review on from one of your customers.
Correct. That is a review that she
like
put there.
Years ago.
And that is an exaggeration. It's not possible to drive. I mean, it's possible, but... There's no way that the vans were going 60 miles an hour, and I looked at the cameras, the speed report, and he was going 40 miles an hour.
And where was this? They said on a dirt road.
On our right-of-way road.
So that's a concern.
What road is that? Is that Esmeralda?
No, it's the road. It's essentially a giant driveway that goes to our property.
I got one other.
Yes.
Do you provide any
you know him better than that, right?
Do you allow any private armament on your property, or is that all supplied by you when the customer comes?
We don't allow people to bring their own guns.
How can you stop them if they didn't have a gun permit? Right to carry.
No. First of all, again, 99% of our clientele are tourists. We do occasionally get locals that call up and say, "Hey, how much is it to come out and shoot at your range?" And we don't allow that. We don't allow outsiders to bring their own guns to shoot at our range.
You don't?
We do not. No. We're not that kind of range.
But you probably could have people who show up with their own guns and don't tell you about it.
That's correct, and we tell them no. We say, "I'm sorry, you can't shoot here." We had that happen 2 weeks ago.
You know that
happens. Well, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking if people we're shooting, if we allowed outsiders, locals, to shoot their own guns.
It's kind of a two-part.
Yeah, no, and no, that's, yeah, we don't allow people to shoot their own guns on our property.
But they could still carry, right?
Sure. Yeah, of course, yeah.
I know you've done your due diligence, undoubtedly, but, you know, the Yellow Pine Mine was obviously the biggest mine out here.
Yes.
And are you aware of how many miles of underground workings there are on that mine, in that area? And have you investigated the safety regarding that? I mean, a lot of that's been bulldozed over, but there was a town there for a while and
sure.
a school.
Yeah, I know.
Basically, so, and there's more than... 10 and 14 miles underground working
right.
on that area.
Right.
So is that something that you would consider as something you'd have to look at a little bit strongly when you're running OHVs over certain areas? I mean, I know that area pretty well.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, I don't think that there's anything near enough to the surface for that to be an issue, but I mean, it's certainly a concern I can look at.
Yeah, if you've seen the Coliseum mine, for instance, do you know which one
no.
mine I'm talking about?
Okay, no.
The Coliseum mine is extreme. It's not very far from here, and it's extremely deep. Extremely, it has water in it so deep that you can't ever touch the bottom of it.
Okay.
And there's just a lot of dirt above that. What he's talking about is that kind of activity can exist just under the surface of what you see.
Okay.
So you know. He's asking if there's if you've done any studies, any work on whether or not you could all of a sudden have your, you know, all your equipment and that fall right on through a hole.
No, I haven't, and I will, you know, now that you bring this up, I'll see if I can find some maps to give us an idea.
Our Historical Society just received a donation in the last year of all the maps of all the underground.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's great.
That property.
If you don't mind, I'll reach out to
you. I called David to tell him that, but I haven't gotten in touch with him. But
called who?
David. Google.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'd love to get...
anyway, it's very, you know, it's something that is something you need to consider.
Sure, absolutely.
Because obviously the areas... And whenever you're looking at, total about 380 acres... Is that what you're
doing? Yeah, 375.
And you're looking at OHV travel on 380 acres. It's not a very big area for OHVs, needless to say. Whenever,
right.
you know, the
mm-hmm.
OHV areas that the county has been looking at are, you know, like 75,000 acres.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of a small area. But you would think you might get off of your private property sometimes.
Well, the only time... Once we receive the land use permit, the only time that we'll exit the properties, we'll go out the right of way out to Kingston,
yeah.
go up Kingston mm-hmm. to what we call what seems to be labeled Old Kingston, and come back onto our property.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
it.
Hold
so
on.
It's you know.
No.
Now
it's
when you
serving.
Talk about right of way,
that's
that? Public right of way.
No, so we pay a yearly rental to the BLM to be able to drive up and down that road. Kingston we're allowed to drive on because it's a county road. And then the road we turn left onto that goes to our property, we pay, this is where we filed for the right of way, we pay a rental fee to be able to use that, you know, road.
But it's still private, I mean, public accessible up to, let's say if you wanted to go up to the Prairie Flower Mine instead. Wouldn't that be the case, even if you are, so you're paying for grading of that road?
I'm just paying to get to drive on it. They said, we don't care how you access your property. If you're going to access your property, you need a right-of-way. So we went through the process of getting the right-of-way. So, and that's what we're looking to do, is just extend that right-of-way over the bypass road.
So it doesn't fall into the same thing as the mining claims did before, where basically you had access to your mining claim.
I don't know. All I know is what the
BLM
told me.
And you actually pay an annual fee?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is different. Mining claims are handled differently than commercial businesses.
I have one last question.
Sure.
All right, so right now, are you operating just a shooting range?
Right now, we're operating just the shooting range, and we had sort of an unofficial nod to continue off-road as long as we left it on the as long as we confined it to our property, so that we could continue to employ. We'd have to lay off 12 people if we had to stop doing off-road.
You said you only have 10 people.
I only have 10 people working at one time. But I would lay off my booking agents that are down in the office. And
so is there someone that does the cleanup for the lead contamination? How many million rounds have you shot?
2 million.
What do you do about the cleanup?
Well, when the time comes, we'll bring in a company. There's a company out of Oregon that comes down and does
and
it.
And how often would that be? When would that time come? It's been 4 years now.
Well, it typically it's different in our particular situation because it's all spread out over a very large area. The lead removal from berms is done because once a berm becomes so impacted with lead, bullets will start to bounce back.
Yeah.
And we just put a new berm up, so it's going to be a while before we do that.
Well, we also don't want it in our water table.
Right. Well, yeah, and that it's going to get cleaned up regularly.
Which means what?
I'm going to talk to the company and see, because we just changed our business model now. So.
And again, these are all conditions that you can discuss when the time comes. So.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I think we're beating a dead horse.
Okay. That means I need to take a motion for us to begin discussion as a board.
No, you can just start. You can just close public comment and discuss as the board.
Okay. I'm old. Okay, so public comment is now closed. Now's when we discuss as a board and we decide how we want to proceed with what you're requesting.
Motion to deny.
Completely.
Absolutely.
Is there a second for that?
No, it's not.
Okay. Now you need to discuss why you want to do that so that we understand.
Do I? Yeah.
No, there's a motion on the floor. You can take a vote on it.
Discuss it.
But, or you can discuss it. It's up to you.
Yes. I want to know why you want to.
Have you not heard me for the last 45 minutes? I've talked more than anybody. I absolutely do not want to give this man permission to do more of what he's been doing outside of what we have allowed him to do.
Because
he's done it.
Because he's irresponsible.
Right.
He's disrespectful. He's not a part of this community. Our community is not better at all for having him here. In fact, it's worse. What else is there to be said? And I'm not arguing with you. I'm stating what I've already been saying.
I just need you to state that. That's all.
Nope.
And Colleen, you
mine's
100% feel the same way.
Fired. 100%
fired.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a motion and a second. All in favor of denying as written?
Aye.
It's denied.
Is that unanimous?
It's unanimous.
Okay.
I appreciate your consideration.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have another general public comments. Anything else anybody wants to say before we adjourn?
Speaking
of fire.
Yes. Good spring has a very heavy growth of underbrush that's around on private properties for owned by people that do not live here anymore. And it was a fire hazard 10 years ago, and it's even become more so now.
My next door neighbor, and they actually live.
Oh my God!
with the drought and everything, and Megan, maybe you can address this. We really desperately somehow need some county help in getting some of this brush removed.
Okay. We don't have the right to go on private property.
Okay.
If
it's a hazard.
Isn't that a code enforcement thing?
Maybe? It would be code enforcement, but I don't know that we want to go the route of code enforcement. Do you think, what are the reasons you think people aren't cleaning it out? Is it age? Right. Like, are they not able? Well, but the people that live here, like somebody's neighbor,
yeah.
Are they not able? Because I will tell you, up in Mount Charleston, we had run into the same thing. And a lot of people up there aren't able to do it. They just aren't physically able
to
do it.
That's not the situation.
So, okay.
For instance, with my next
door
neighbor. Well, because people have offered to go over and do it for her, mm-hmm. and she has refused that.
Okay.
I believe she just wants to not be seen, and all of the brush keeps that from happening. Right. So.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
Since Don knows about this, I mean, he was the fire chief.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we have somebody just do a walkabout and identify the areas that need to be taken care of, and then we'll just say, hey, this needs to be taken care of, and then we
well,
what do you say?
You're thinking what I'm thinking. So if you guys could give me a list of the addresses, and I'll send them a letter, and we can start that way.
I'm just saying that's cold and kind of rude. That's going to come across as like some, you mind your own business.
Well, I can. Well, it'll come from me, and I can write it nicely.
If it's a friend. You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
Megan has a way with words. I'm sorry. In the 20 years that I've been on this board off and on, it's always been my position to say, for lack of a better way to put this, clean up your own backyard. You tend to your business, I'll tend to mine, because I can guarantee you 100% that there is not one property in this town, not one, that absolutely is completely void of no problem.
Well, then how about I send it to everybody? We can send it to every property.
It needs to be
and
a health thing. A health.
Well, and that's because...
No, that's just how you word it.
Well, what I was going to say, up in Mount Charleston, every year they do the pine needle pickup. And they do a cleanup. And people come out and volunteer. They drive around with the truck, and people go and help on each other's properties and clean it up. We could try something like that. But I also know that we're human, and the people that need the message don't always get the message. So you guys tell me how you want to proceed. We can call code enforcement on every one of them if you want.
Can I say something?
I think that's a bad thing.
Exactly. I would like to say that part of the problem is some of the properties that need it the worst, there's no one living there.
Exactly.
And there's like people like next door to you, down the street from us, and all. They are not going to be polite when you offer to clean off their property. They're going
to
tell you, get out of here, mind your own business. And where do you live? And you know, you don't want so. It's a bad idea for us here.
Code enforcement is a really bad
idea. We lived here in 1999. The people that don't want to clean up their property are not going to be polite when you're asking them, can I help you clean up your property? Because we did that when Don was on the fire department back in, 15 years ago. And they loaded up a trailer and they went around and some of the people were like, how dare you say my property was
down?
It is a hazard problem. I think call A. She's doing part of it.
Well, we're still cut.
And it's only going to get worse with this drought unless we get some H2O relief, and I don't see that coming down the line.
So what if we started with letters to the absentee owners?
That's a good one.
And they may not even be aware that they have brush and growth on their properties. I would think they would know about their property, but maybe they don't. So do we want to start that way and see what kind of response we get? Okay. Then I need someone to give me a list of the properties that are in question.
Okay. How soon do you need them?
Tomorrow. No, whenever you get get on it. You know, by next meeting, that's another month away. If you could do it sooner, I can come by and pick it up, or you can email it to me, or so whenever you do it, I would say in the next couple weeks, and then we can get the letter. Maybe.
What are we going to ask? What's the objective when you contact them? Are we going to offer to clean it up for them? Because if they're absentee, They might not even live in
I think I will just ask them to contact me so we can discuss it and find out if they're able to clean it up, if they, you know, need help.
Like what might work best for them. Yeah. I appreciate that, Megan. Okay. I mean, you know, asking them
well,
to contact
Well, if we're
going to
offer help to clean up, I mean, is every...
I'll help.
Are there people here that would, you know, volunteer?
Because
that's the other thing we need. Because I think
Jeremy's
you tried.
Got some great
I think
kids.
You tried that once before.
Jeremy has great kids.
And nobody showed up. So
well, and I've struggled with that in the past, but I could offer like free food. I mean, the county could make it an event.
Okay.
So
is there still a Boy Scout?
I don't know if there's a Boy Scout troop, but I know like the high school, they always need hours. So maybe free food will get people out. I don't know. Donuts. I don't know. We'll figure out something.
Well, if we are going to do this, is there a possibility of getting Republic Services to bring a dumpster out to us? I mean, if we're going to do it, I mean, let's kind of plan to do it.
That would be a neighborly thing to do.
Yes, I can work with Republic Services.
Then you might as well get them to bring some tractors and bulldoze half of everything and put in.
Well, we can't do that. that would be rude. I think that people would be pissed off about that. But okay, so you're going to, Dom can give me a list. And if you could do it like in the next couple weeks, I could send letters and maybe have some answers by the next meeting.
Awesome.
What I'll do is I'll give you the property list. And I'll also take pictures of each one and attach it so that you can see what it actually looks like.
I am just going to take your, you don't have to take pictures. If you want to send me pictures, that's great, but I'll take your word for it. I don't need evidence or proof. I'll take your word for it. Do you need him out of the house for a while? Take pictures of everything. I want all sides.
I have a couple,
yes.
Actually. So I heard maybe, I don't know if it's right or right or whatever, but on Main Street, the idea of maybe repaving Main Street,
yeah.
Is that in the scope? Well, I was talking, and I was actually saying, wouldn't it be interesting if we were to see if we can stamp it? And what I mean by that, make like cobblestone stamping. And the reason you might want to do that is because as an ATV goes over a certain speed limit, it'll start vibrating. So
nice.
What you do is you make it look nice and curb appeal, but you make the gapping wide enough so if they exceed 20 miles, 25 miles an hour, it'll basically start
rattles
it'll
your
start
teeth.
It'll be uncomfortable.
Them. Right, and then they'll eventually you'll want to slow down.
What does it do for our cars?
Dan?
How does it ride?
Well,
we're not gonna
well our your standard vehicle treads are wide enough. I mean, I have big treads, so mine might hit them, but. Yeah, I'm not going faster than 25 miles an hour to my driveway. So, but basically, it would prevent them from flying around the corners.
Yeah.
So it was just a really clever
Nothing
thought.
Nothing prevents
like,
those
and
razors
and
from
I,
doing that.
Huh?
Nothing prevents a razor from doing
well,
that.
Well,
they love that shit.
Okay, well, before we go any further down this path,
stamping is relatively cheap.
We're not going to do stamp concrete. The paving isn't paving. It's milled stuff.
Okay, so it's not
so right, and I don't think Clark County.
I've looked at asphalt stamping before, and I know it's rebar. You know, they just
and
down like that's the easiest solution.
Well, it's one solution. I don't know if it's the friendliest solution, but it that would create maintenance problems for on the road. So no, it's. I don't think the county would do it anyway, but that's not the type of paving we're going to be doing out here.
Okay.
So
my next question is actually about zoning.
Okay.
So I was talking to Steve just about some stuff, and it blew my mind that apparently Clark County does not have any historical zoning. Like, we don't have a historical zoning requirements. Like, it doesn't exist.
There's not a specific thing in the code for it, but we're rewriting the code right now.
So who do? Because I used to do land acquisition in state of Virginia, and it was awesome because I used to go to these older Dominion areas, the 200-year-old Civil War areas, and I was able to absorb spot locks, and they were in these historical zonings. Well, the historical zonings have a whole new sheet of requirements of what you can and cannot do. So, for example, for Steve's property down the street with the shack and the old tree, which is the mascot of the Historical Society, mm-hmm. and having issues with that being there pre-existing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you, obviously it's a historical property. If you're able to historically zone it, then you should be able to get around these issues, or even subdivide it and make it its own parcel, that little square, as a historical zone spot.
Right. So we are actually rewriting our zoning code right now.
So I would
encourage you to keep coming to the meetings, because we're going to be discussing it here. We're going to be giving input on that. So are you
the direct contact for the zoning, or are you? Liaison?
I would be your contact. I'm liaison for all things county.
Okay.
So, cool. But we'll be working on that.
Because I definitely want to be involved.
Sure.
Because I have.
Gotcha. That's great. Yeah.
I can help you.
I didn't know that, Jeremy.
That was my first adult job. It was fun. Yeah, it was
nice.
I learned school hard knocks, so my broker was a crook. I did a $2 million job. My cut was $500,000 at 20. He let me go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Any other comments?
Megan, I know that they've been requested to come out and actually. The people that are writing this to come out and at least talk to someone on the CAC or about maybe some of these issues. Are they ever going to do that?
Well, they were here last month. They came out and talked about the land use plan last month and did a whole presentation. And it's two sections. It's the land use plan and the code. And the code, we're just getting started, so they have not been out yet, but they will.
Can I get a copy of that? How do I get that?
It's transformclarkcounty.com.
Transform Clark County.
And the whole process is on there.
Right on.
So you know what? That's good. Go on there, and there's a comment section, and you can put detailed comments, more than, you know, I'm going to make notes of. You can put detailed comments in there. So Transform Clark County. But we will be bringing it out here for discussion, too.
Okay, cool. Because I know there was a presentation last time, right? Mm-hmm. And is that presentation on there, TransformClarkCounty.com, or no?
The general, everything she shared with us is part of the plan. So it's all in there.
Right, but I wasn't here. So
it was Good Spring specific.
Right.
The gist of it is, for the land use plan, nothing's changing, which is the way we want it. It means no increased density for zoning.
Right.
All the land use is staying as it is. The code, that's going to be making some changes, so that's where we want everybody to be involved.
So then, just as a follow-up question, so if we were able to basically help sculpt a historical mm-hmm. zoning, obviously, what we would want to do as a town here, if we were to open that door of historical zoning, we all better be very conscious of what you can do with historical zoning lots. Just because if you, for example, I was buying properties that had 27-foot length parcels, and we were putting brand new houses on them. Tiny, little, skinny nothings because they're historical zoned. And in that thing, the offset for your building had to be 3 feet off the parcel line. So small, right? And we were, so I was working with these builders, man. They were all just about profit. So
I've got the map of this.
Right.
Town.
So we went in there and I was buying all these lots with cash, and we were putting up brand new houses in these older areas. But looking back and obviously looking at Good Springs, if we were to do historical zoning, I think the townspeople should be really conscious of, hey, if all of a sudden we cracked open brand new buildable lots just overnight, we're going to have every single builder around coming in here absorbing everything. So
we could put minimums on it.
Yes. So you would need to, if we go down, it's just like, lighting a, you know, a barrel on fire. You have to really make sure you know what you're doing.
Well, and you have to be careful what you wish for, too.
Right.
You have to be careful what you wish for, too, because if you get historical zoning, it could keep you from doing anything on your property that you want to.
Correct.
So.
And so that's exactly correct. Yeah. I mean, like, it's fine. But I believe there has to be some sort of middle ground
mm-hmm.
because we obviously have all these nice historical shacks around, right, mm-hmm. that we want to keep intact. Yeah, there's also individuals who own these properties who want to improve it, but we can't. Just like several, you know, stuck lots
in my area.
Well,
you have to make a choice. Some people have to end up making a choice.
But that's the thing. Unfortunately, the people who are going to be making the choices are the guys with big dollars, and they're going to come in. They're just going to, the choice is going to be destroy these five lots to make three and build brand new houses. And that's going to be
not what
well,
we, that's
I,
not what we want.
I have
so,
to tell you, I've been doing this for 9 years,
mm-hmm.
and they are not beating down our doors to tear down houses and build
new
houses.
For sure
not. They aren't. So,
although Las Vegas is the number one, mm-hmm. you know, for the whole United States, number one relocated city right now, an entire nation.
If I had something like the Campbell cabin on my property or something like that, it's not protected. If I wanted to knock it down so that I could build my little McMansion or whatever,
I could. Yeah.
And it shouldn't necessarily be that, I shouldn't have to make that choice that I even have to knock it down to build my mansion. I should be able to keep it intact.
Absolutely.
And still build what I want to build.
That's what I mean. Absolutely. I would think it should be some form of the option for the landowner to be able to designate it a historical monument. And then be able to build around.
I think you're talking more of a protection rather than restrictions, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, not restrictions.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I think he's going.
I was like, Abraham Lincoln's birthplace. I went over there. Have you ever been over there? It's pretty awesome. So basically, it's a little tiny town. Here you go. You get to go into the old houses, the velvet, don't cross the ropes. All around it are Victorian-based houses, but they're all, half of them are new. But everyone mows their lawn, everyone does everything. But right smack dab in the middle of all this are these properties that are just tiny little properties. And they're protected. I'm not wanting that. But I'm saying that is a really interesting concept of being able to preserve something that's over 100 years old, yet still obviously people are living in there having modern day family life.
They got their flat screen TV in there.
They do, yeah, exactly. Yep, they're mowing the lawn. They're mowing the lawn with their chain link fence, And right next to,
I've seen those in Huntington Beach, though, the little houses.
Yeah.
On little skinny lots, they're like.
And I helped build those. And bottom line was dollars, man.
Yeah,
we made $20,000 on the lot and $60,000 on the building. And we had an all nice day.
If I may, can we wrap up?
Yes.
What time did this start? Did this start at 7?
6:30.
I've been up since 5:20 this morning.
Mm-hmm. Next meeting is October 26th.
Thank you.
At 6:30.
6:30,
not 7:30, not 7 o'clock. 6:30.
Because we do want to hear more from you, but man, I
need
some sleep.
Yeah,
I'm exhausted.
You're mentally and emotionally drained. You need to go recover.
Thank you, Jim.